Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening. Welcome, everybody, to Applause Radio Show. How are you tonight, Johnny?
I'm doing good. You sound better tonight.
I'm getting there. I tell you, if I don't talk all day, we have a better shot, you know? Anyway, how are you? Thank you so much, John. I know you had to break your ass today working, and I appreciate you joining us and, you know, getting things started for us and everything. But tonight, we have a double bill. We have two fabulous guests. We have the wonderful Rodney Allen Rippey. Rodney, you with us?
I am indeed with you. How are you
Yay!
Doing?
Yay! Hey, Rodney!
Rodney! Oh, yay!
Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining us, hon. We really appreciate it.
I just
want to say, it's too big to eat.
That's right. That is certainly true.
All right. Well, Rodney, I remember you very well growing up. Actually, we're only 4 years apart, but you seemed so young when I remembered the commercial, and I seem so much older, but we're only 4 years apart. But Rodney, for those who don't know, was absolutely famous for doing the Jack in the Box commercials. I don't know if you recall those, but the burger was always too big. Rodney, when were you able to get that burger in your mouth? How old were you?
Well, it all got started when I was 3.5 years old. And it's been a whirlwind ever since.
I'm sure. I have to ask you, though, but how old were you when you were able to get that burger finally in your mouth since it was so big?
Well, you know what? I took small bites. You know, that's my motto with life. It's too big to eat, so you got to take small bites. But you can get the job done. Just keep working at it.
Well, what I loved about your commercials is they seemed totally unrehearsed, and they were perfect. You know, and they were just so normal and everyday. And, you know, I think that's why they were such a big hit, besides the fact that you were the cutest thing in the world at the time.
Well, I was lucky, you know, and actually it's funny you mentioned that the actual commercial itself was actually the commercial that started all was my audition. The actual audition went so perfect, they kept it and it became the actual kickoff to the whole commercial series.
Yeah, I kind of felt that because it was just so natural. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who was the little girl that played with you in the commercial that gives you the kiss?
You know what? That was a sweet little girl. That was part of the Jack in the Box being a sweepstakes with Rodney Allen Rippey, and they started a sweepstakes.
Oh, how funny!
And kids and people would go in droves to Jack in the Box. And they were all put – it was a contest, a huge contest.
Right.
Some of the people might remember back in the day, we had a deal with Sears, and there were mountain bikes. So kids were getting these mountain bikes, and they were winning mountain bikes. And I met this guy recently, and he goes, I won one of the bikes, man. Do you know how cool I was in my neighborhood when I won the bike in the competition? But yeah, she was a little girl out of Escondido, California. She was
wow.
Big.
Wow.
And we did the commercial together.
Nice, nice. Now, also, you are known as the youngest person to have a song in the Billboards charts. You were 5, I believe, and that came about how? You were just humming the song at the commercial?
Well, no, actually, that was one of the theme song, and the name of my album was Take Life a Little Easier, and it was on Bell Records.
So wait, did you do the record first, or did they hear you singing and then you did the record?
Actually, it was the Jack in a Box. It was very much tailored. What happened was I actually had to sing the song in the commercial.
Gotcha.
And then they went into the studio, and then it became this whole big phenomenon. And it just took off from there. So we did the commercial first, I sang Take Life a Little Easier in the commercial.
Right.
And then it went over so well, they pushed it into the studio, and it was a gentleman by the name of Al Capps who was a producer.
Mm.
And then we did it on Bell Records, and it somehow mysteriously got onto the Billboard charts, and I hold the record for being the youngest person to chart on Billboard.
Excellent. Very nice. Very nice. That's really cool. Now, you were in a lot of, let's say, series and movies as well, right? I mean, you worked with some greats. You worked with Jack Klugman and all those guys. You worked with on The Odd Couple.
Yeah.
You were on The $6 Million Man, Marcus Welby. And, of course, you did all the talk show runs. You did Johnny Carson and Dinah Shore and all those guys. But,
yeah.
excuse me. Pardon me. What was your role in the Harlem Globetrotters on Saturday morning? I watched a lot of Saturday TV. I don't remember this.
That was the Harlem Globetrotters popcorn machine.
Yeah.
And that was a Saturday morning special that ran for like 4 years.
Mm.
And I was with the Harlem Globetrotters, and so I was actually the littlest Globetrotter of the bunch, but I was actually supposed to be the brains of the bunch. So
now,
it was I always had the Globetrotters, and they were always having these problems, and I would tell them the solution, and they would all go, "Oh, that's what we need to do," and it was that type of thing.
And it was a cartoon.
Great.
It was a cartoon.
It was a show, and there was a mixture of the cartoon. It was all put together. It was just amazing. It really was.
There's
nothing like that right now for kids, and
no.
I really hope that we can be able to bring back some of these things because so many kids need it today.
I know. It's a shame where we're at. But another thing I didn't know about you while researching was you played the little boy in Blazing Saddles. I had no idea that was you on the caravan there.
Actually, I played Black Bart. I played the sheriff as a little boy.
Right.
Cleavon Little. I played Cleavon Little as a little boy. And I recently bumped into Mel Brooks.
Love him.
Amazing man.
Love him.
Genius. And so I told him, I said, "I hope that you do a remake of Blazing Saddles and you let me play Black Bart." Because now.
Oh, that would be cool.
I'm the age that Cleavon Little was at the original. And I would do it, man. I would crawl over broken glass for that role.
Why were you uncredited on that? It says you were uncredited.
It was just one of those weird things. I don't know. The funny thing about it was I was in the film, and it's just one of those things. I don't know. You know, I was just a little kid doing my thing. But the most important thing was I had a blast doing it, and just being able to see all the greats and all the people that were involved with it is just amazing.
Right. Now, another thing that amazed me, too, well, didn't amaze me, it kind of shocked me a bit, but not in a way, because you were from Long Beach, California, originally born, but you ran for mayor of Compton.
What a lot of people don't know, Compton and Long Beach are side by side. They're like neighbors.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, they're geographically very close. And so I had went to college, and I got my degree in marketing and advertising from Cal State Dominguez Hills, which is in Carson. Mm. Carson actually sits it's all butted up together. So when I was in Carson, a lot of times I was always thinking, wow, why doesn't somebody do something about Compton? Because there was always these funny little things that pop up in the news, and there's all this drama. And I always said to myself, if I could make a difference doing something, I
nice.
Would.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, lo and behold, I kind of got pulled into this race, and I gave it a real serious run, and a lot of people thought it was a joke. And me personally, I will tell you, I have real serious facts. There was some serious cheating that went on. I really should have actually won, but needless to say, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk.
Right.
I had a lot of great opportunities that came out of it, and
right.
you know, the things that I was proposing are still needed till this day. There have been two elections since then, and still the problems persist. And I had solutions for these things. I had some solid solutions, and I don't think that they were ready for me yet.
So why don't you run again?
Well, I have other things. I started to realize that I can, in you know, affect change, not by being inside the machine. I can stay outside and
right.
do a lot of
right.
things. And so I'm involved with veterans. I'm involved with the youth.
Right.
I'm involved with vocational education.
Nice. Good
so those
you.
Are the type of things that I'm doing now.
Right. Well, that's where I was going next. I mean, in between all your acting gigs and your marketing firm, well, what have you been up to? Tell everybody where they can, like what's Rodney been doing all these years?
Well, I've been working on multiple projects. You know, one, I'm trying to get myself and my schedule together to finish an autobiography for hopefully Q1 of 2020.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm co-executive producer of the Country Soul Music Awards.
Nice.
I'm also working with a group of educators, and we've got a couple of projects called Hidden Pioneers. My dear friend Bill Montgomery, his cousin is actually Katherine Johnson. Remember the movie Hidden Figures, the key
yes,
figure
yes,
from the movie?
Yes.
The real Katherine Johnson is my buddy's, is my business partner and friend. That's his cousin. And so we want to be able to bring vocational education back in. I kind of been working behind the scenes, and I'm working in vocational education. I work for Intercoast College here in Southern California. And so we're reaching out and trying to make a difference and working with vets. I just had an amazing meeting this week with U.S. vets, the nation's largest military organization that helps vets and helps them with housing and mental help and everything that they need.
Nice.
I'm also working with a colleague of mine, Dan Pettigrew, for the Teen Day radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to present opportunities for young people to break
That's
into
great.
Broadcast, to
That's
break
great.
Into broadcast
yeah.
and give them a voice. That's what
right.
it's all about.
Is it more underprivileged children, or is it just everybody?
You know, it's a community-based project, especially
yeah.
with Teen Day, and it's alcohol-free, profanity-free, drug-free,
right.
crime-free. And between that, you know, when you look at vocational education, high schools used to have, you know, metal shop, wood shop. So
And
a colleague of mine, his name is James Andrew Luna. You know, we work on a project called Taylor Wars. And so we're trying to get young people to get back to those core things.
The basic.
You know, tailoring is a dying art. Who actually is tailoring these days? There's a lot of designers, but who's actually tailoring stuff? And
right.
so we need to bring some of these American core values back, these trade skills. And between that, I'm just kind of staying happy and healthy. And, you know, and I've got great friends and dear people in my life. And you know, it's all about, I got my sweetie back in Tennessee. Hello, Candy. She's back there listening into the show.
Hi, Candy.
There you go. Everybody's out there. So it's all good. You know, I just got back in town from New Jersey. We were there for Chillers.
And that's where we met, yes?
Yes, we met at Chillers.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
It was a pleasure. I was there, my sidekick and other actress friend, Tammy Locke, who's
yep.
from the TV show, The Monroes.
We've had Tammy
hey,
on the show.
Joanne.
Yes, John.
Excuse me.
Yes, John.
If you guess who's on the line to talk to, Rodney? Tammy Locke.
Tammy.
Tammy, are you there?
I'm here,
Tammy,
and so is Marion Ramsey. That was Marion Ramsey from Police Academy. Say hello, Marion.
Hi, Rodney. Can you hear me?
I can, sweetheart. How you doing?
You can hear me, Rodney?
I can hear you, sweetheart. How you doing?
Oh, great. It's so wonderful to hear you. I can't wait to see you the next show or something like that.
Oh, we'll cross paths. We're always out there. You know we will.
Nice.
I know.
I'm sorry. Who's calling? This isn't Tammy.
Joanne. I've got Marion Ramsey on my other phone. I just put the two phones together. We're having a threesome, Joanne.
Oh, man. I'm such a virgin. No, I was trying to figure out why it was hard to hear Miriam.
Yeah, it's Marion Ramsey. She played Sergeant Hooks on the Police Academy movies, all of them.
Yeah, with a little sweet voice. Right? A little quiet voice. Yeah. Well, hi, Miriam. Thank you for joining us on the show, you and Tammy. Thank you so much. What do you guys want to talk to Rodney about? I know you see Rodney all the time, Tammy, so what do you have to say?
I actually don't. Rodney is MIA most of the time.
Oh, God.
No, the only time I see Rodney is when I schedule an autograph show. We've got one coming up, matter of fact, December 13th and 14th called Prairies and something else. I can't think of what it's called, but it's in Burbank at the Colony Theater. So it's going to be filled
with... It's a big thing about the Western. It's a Western Western thing.
Yeah, and Rodney's appearing...
Cool.
Yeah, Rodney's appearing for Blazing Saddles, of all things. And we're hoping to get Mel Brooks there as well. So that's being worked on right now. And Little House on the Prairie is going to be there. Darby Hinton is going to be there. Robert Carradine is going to be there. There's going to be a lot of people there, so it's going to be fun. Olin Paz is the orchestrator for that whole thing.
Oh, great. Lovely. Well, I'm glad you called in,
Jamie.
That's
Rodney's next autograph show, Joanne. Well, so you got to tell everybody. That's Rodney's next autograph show.
Yep. Well, we were going to ask him where he was going to be so he could let everybody know.
There you go.
That's great. You know what, Ronnie?
Appearing on behalf of Blade and Saddle.
Yep. Ronnie, if you don't say it, Tammy's going to say it, so, you know.
I'm glad she was there. And one of the things that we're doing is working on some great projects. I mean, there's so many great things that Tammy has yet to do, and there are things that I'm making my transition. I've been working on a lot of projects, but of course I'm looking to get back out there and do product endorsements and commercials and special appearances. And so those are the things that are always on the horizon.
Well, would you do that? Would be cool if you did a like McDonald's or Burger King commercial. You would do
No way.
Jack in the Box only.
But Jack in the Box is dead.
That's his trademark.
Yeah, that's his trademark.
I know, but Jack in the Box is dead, isn't it? On the East Coast, they're gone. Sorry.
Yeah, no, they're a West Coast operation, but they're very strong out here in Southern California and on the Western United States. They sponsor huge sporting events. They're on all the sports.
You need to talk to them and tell them they need to do another Jack in the Box commercial with you then.
Rodney, you need to tell the world what you just did with Mattel, how you met the CEO of Mattel and the reason why.
Oh, go ahead.
I actually was at a new product launch called Hot Wheels IQ, and it's going to be the hottest toy for the summer, or actually for the Christmas time, and Hot Wheels have now went digital. And so as a little kid, I used to play with Hot Wheels, and so that's part of the whole.
Well, I did want to ask you, you're also a car aficionado, aren't you, Rodney? I mean, you love cars.
I, I am, and I'm actually in the process of launching a podcast called California Car Culture. You can check me out on Facebook.
Oh.
Hashtag RAR454. But back to what Tammy was saying, we were there at a – I was actually at a Mattel's event and actually met the president and CEO of Mattel, and he really flipped out because I showed him my doll because he didn't know that Mattel had produced the Rodney Rippy doll.
Wow. Wow.
And so, you know, hopefully there's some great relationships that are in seeds that have been planted.
Right.
And we're going to keep pushing because the best is yet to come. And
absolutely.
Speaking of that, big shout out to Hollywood Weekly Magazine. Tammy just had a great spread.
Yes, she did.
In the magazine, and they gave me the October
cover
and a huge article. And so hopefully the digital version will be coming out once we have a link.
Well, congratulations.
I'll get it over to the show. Yeah.
Excellent. Congratulations on that. I know Tammy had hers. We discussed it when she was here. And I actually have a copy signed by Miss Tammy Locke.
And she looks beautiful, doesn't she?
Yeah. Aw, thank you, Marianne. I love you too.
She looks beautiful.
Well, I'm glad. This has been a wonderful
reunion.
Well,
me and Marion
will
sign out. We'll sign off and let Rodney do his thing.
Thank you, Marion. Thank you, Marion and Tammy. Thank you so much.
Hey, Joanne, Marion wants to tell you something. Marion wants to tell you something, Joanne, real quick before we sign off. Go ahead, Marion.
Whisper so nobody hears it.
What?
Well, I didn't hear you. What?
The movie, he needs to do number 2, Blazing
Saddles. That's correct. He needs to do number 2, Blazing Saddles.
Right, and he should play the lead role. Yeah, that's what we said. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're certainly hoping, you know, it was funny. I met Mel, and a lot of people said, you know, that Blazing Saddles could not be made again in our current, you know, in our current world. But Mel, he made it funny. And he poked fun at everybody.
Right,
and it's only comedy. Nobody wants anybody.
It's perfect now.
Yep, I agree.
And I think Mel has so much material. Could you imagine Blazing Saddles, the 2020 version or 2021?
Right.
Oh, my God.
It would be awesome.
It would be the funniest comedy of the year.
Yeah.
He would win all the awards. And I would take the heat right there with him.
Tammy and I have to be in it.
That's right, Rodney. Marion and I have to be in Blazing Saddles with you.
Yeah. But the good thing is if they did a part 2, Mel would be the one to do it, which would be perfect.
You know
it would be fantastic, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is the man that is orchestrating this autograph show on December 13th and 14th is a very close friend to Mel Brooks and his family.
We've
literally now got the inside, you know, scoop on trying to possibly make this all happen. You never know. But
well,
I don't want to stay much
Mel
longer because I know Rodney wants to talk. So we don't want to use up his time.
When you guys see Mel, you let him know that if he wants to do it. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Marion says she loves you. Marion says she loves you, Rodney.
Sending love. Take care, you two. Thanks for calling in.
Righty.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Rodney, you got your hands full with those two.
I got to tell you. Also, when we start talking about Mel, another dear friend of mine, her name is Elaine Ballast. And so she's got this crazy, quirky book. She's friends with Mel Brooks. And so,
nice.
And the funny thing is we just worked on a project called How to Write a Book. And so it's kind of like a gag deal to kind of get people, you know, just to kind of get people. It's like a gag gift, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And so between that, I think that we're really in the running for some great things, and I'm really hoping that.
Well, we wish you nothing but the best, Rodney. Nothing but the best.
I really do.
You let Mel know if he wants to do a part 2 to come here and tell us about it.
Oh, heck yeah, I would.
You know? So, yep. Is it, Ronnie, where can people contact you? And other than the signing that's coming up that Tammy mentioned, what's going on? Where can they find out more about you?
You can catch me on Facebook and Instagram. You can catch me again for California Car Culture at Facebook at RAR, hashtag RAR454. Like me, follow me, join us. And I mean, we're going to be doing some really great things this year in the industry, you know, in the entertainment industry, in the vocational world. And I'm just going to plan on staying happy and healthy, and just God bless all the listeners out there. And I hope everybody's just having a real kickback, you know, evening. And I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, thank you, Rodney. Thank you so much for joining us. Really. It's been a pleasure. And, if you want to come back and tell us what's going on, let folks know what's going on, you feel free to contact us and, you know, we'll put you right on.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep you posted. I'm going to give you all the big upcoming scoops. How's that?
Sounds good. All right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
Mr. Ronnie Allen Rippey. It's too big to eat.
That's right. Don't forget it.
Bye, Ronnie. Thank you so much for calling in. We love you.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. You too. Good luck,
bye-bye.
Hon. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm so,
so Joanne,
glad Tammy called
in. Tell us who our sponsor is.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry we jumped right into the into the show. We are proud to say that we are sponsored by KWV Wines. It's South African wine. They're reasonably priced but taste like $1 million. And now we have welcome to our family, Catskills Provisions. They make honey, syrup, whiskey. Basically, they're an artisanal food and gift company, and the stuff is really good. And if you heard the show the other night, you heard I could barely speak. I tried their honey and their whiskey, and guess who's talking today? So give it a shot. It's delicious stuff. Anyway, but coming up, we have Susan Jacks from the Poppy family. Do we have her on the line yet, John?
Yes, I think she just called in now. Hi,
excellent.
Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Susan?
Hi,
oh, hey,
Susan.
Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the wonderful Susan Jacks from the Poppies. And if you don't remember her by name directly or the Poppies, you know the song for sure. I'll try. If not, I think Susan should take it because it is her song. Which way are you going, Billy? You do it.
Can
Susan.
I go too?
Do the chorus, Kat. Do the chorus. That's the best part. Kat. You are my only. Thank you so much for joining us. We do appreciate
well,
it.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I have a lot of questions for you, darling. Are you ready?
I sure am.
All right. You were on this show called Music Cop in Canada. What type of show was that? Obviously music related, but what did it consist of? What were you guys
well,
doing
every,
on it?
Every day of the week, it was kind of a it presented young people in the area who
wow.
were entertainers and that kind of thing. And it was on 5 days a week. Each
but you
day
were on
was
every
from
day.
A no,
you were
because
like...
each day of the week it was from a different part of Canada. I think we were on Fridays, but one,
oh.
you know, I think Mondays I believe was Halifax, which is on the East Coast, and then you know, I've got to remember all the places, and then I'm trying to remember the five places: Vancouver, Halifax, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Montreal.
You were only 15 at the time, correct?
I was 15. I was almost 16. I hadn't quite turned 16 yet.
And,
I was 15.
Was Terry a guest as well? Was he a performer? Is that how you met there?
Not until later. He was not a... he wasn't a regular when I was actually on the first show. And there were a number of people that remained regulars. And, of course, there were there are other people that would be guests. Terry had a group, a local group here in Vancouver. So they had had some success locally with a song they had recorded. So they were, of course, came on the show. It was a really wonderful venue for just everybody, you know.
It sounds nice, yeah.
Young people in the area, you know, so it was really quite different.
Right. And for those who don't know, we're talking about Terry Jacks. He was the singer-songwriter for Seasons in the Sun. You guys met, got married, started the Poppies.
Actually, he didn't write Seasons in the Sun. No, it was a song written by Jacques Brel, a French guy. It was recorded by several people before we recorded it.
Well, nothing personal, but thank God you met him, because I don't know if Susan Peskovitz would have went too far.
Do you know how many? We looked and looked. I remember my mom sitting around. She and I would think of all these names, because we knew,
right?
You know, it wouldn't fit on the marquee. You know,
no, we're Pesquibit. Susan Jack sounds so much better.
Yeah. And all the names that we thought of that might be a possibility, I went with for the first part of my career. I went with Pesquibit.
Right.
And it wasn't until when Terry and I got married that.
Right.
But there it was, Jack.
Right.
Who'd have thought?
But then you guys started the group, the Eternal Triangles, which developed into the Poppies?
No, that had nothing to do with Terry. That was who I first recorded with.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry.
There were two other guys that
Powerline,
were singers on
Powerline.
Howie
I'm
Vickers.
I apologize. Yeah.
And
yeah. And
I'm sorry, I lost your.
You there?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. It was Northcott and Howie Vickers, right?
Yeah, Tom Northcott and Howie Vickers. And they were also on Music Hop. They were regulars at or actually Tom, I guess, wasn't a total regular, but Howie was.
Right.
And so we got together and recorded a couple of songs and put something out. They had some good response in Western Canada, and but you know, they were such, the three of us, each of us was a pretty strong singer, and so I could never see that it would I mean, Howie was wonderful, of course, you know, he went on to success, and Tom did too, but you know, it was just, I didn't think it would last that long, only because of that. It's like, you get three people singing harmony all the time, and you know.
Right.
and
well, I was actually going to ask you how they took the you leaving them going to go with the Poppies, but if they became successful in their own right, I'm sure they were fine with it.
Well, they were, and actually, I didn't leave that situation to go with the Poppy family. I actually we did some TV shows and did some things, but they were off doing their own thing as well. Tom and Howie were, and I was supposed to sing at an Elks Club meeting or something in Hope, BC, here, just a little town in BC. I needed a guitar player, and I called all the guys that I knew, and they couldn't do it, because I kind of, like typical teenager, I left it till the last minute. And they weren't available. They all had gigs that particular weekend.
Right.
And so somebody suggested I call Terry, because his group had broken up.
No.
And all I needed was a rhythm guitar player.
So
I didn't need anything super fancy. Well, and Terry was never a lead guitar player anyway. He just played rhythm. So it was perfect.
Yeah, a couple chords. That's all you needed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
right.
So from then we did, I think, one other weekend or whatever, and it was hard to get enough gigs, you know, because we were just two people. We could do coffee houses and things like that. But mm-hmm. we thought that adding somebody else would kind of maybe give us more, you know, more options to book and everything. It'll be
right.
So we had both knew this guy, Craig McCaw.
Mm-hmm.
And he played lead, so we said, "Well, come on, we'll do a few gigs." It wasn't that serious, really, mm-hmm. at the beginning. It was just, you know, in those days, you'd go out and make money by doing shows here and there, and you know.
Right. Powerline wasn't a bad name. What made you go to the Poppy family? Where did Poppy family come from?
Yeah, we used Powerline because we started singing up at Whistler Mountain. And at that point in time, they were just putting the Powerline through. I mean, I'll tell you what, there was only the cafeteria and the tea bar, you know, to go up skiing up the mountain. And there was just nothing there. I mean, holy smokes, you should see it now.
Yeah.
But in those days, there was just nothing. We would sing in the cafeteria, and everybody would come in and put their wet skis against the door, and we would just be sitting there, or you know, hooked up there next to not a buffet, but you know, it was a cafeteria kind of a style where you just go choose your stuff from over the counter kind of stuff.
Right.
And
But why the Poppy family? What
no, I was
how?
Just going to get... So we,
oh, I'm
we
sorry.
Never, no, that's okay. That's okay. We were never really happy with Powerline, and we only used it up there. I mean, we were so new. I don't even think we used Powerline that much. We just went in as... I don't know what we went, because we would start playing a few places. We weren't playing a lot then. And because I was doing other things too, I mean, I was still doing several TV shows, and I sang with other bands and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now, once Craig joined, I thought, well, you know, if they're going to put their full time into it here, then I should do that. I at least owe it to them. At least let's just, you know, go for it.
Right,
anyway, so
right.
we didn't want to use Powerline. It wasn't a very good name, really, not a strong name. And we were rehearsing at one time. We would rehearse in Terry's mom and dad's basement,
mm-hmm.
and or in the backyard if it was sunny. Anyway, we took a break, and we were in their den, and we started going through. We decided we really need some kind of a name. Started going through. Oh. Magazines and newspapers and anything that might trigger some kind of a name.
Right.
And we had gone through, we were going through the dictionary and flipping pages through it and just seeing it. And flipped it into, onto this page, and it said the Poppy family, varied species of flowering plant and all that kind of stuff. And we thought, that would be such an appropriate name for that the psychedelic
right.
era.
Right.
It would give us a symbol. Indicated with the flower there that it was there was a girl in the group or whatever.
Right, right.
Craig never liked
it. Yeah.
He never was crazy about the name.
Yeah.
But we thought,
well,
what the heck, we'll go
right.
with it.
Well, it went well. Now, Which Way You Goin', Billy was actually titled Which Way You Goin', Buddy, originally when it was written, right? And I know the story
it
behind
was.
This. Do you want to share with everybody how you come up with the name Which Way You Goin', Billy?
Well, yes. I was, no, by this time, Carrie and I were...
I know the story.
By this time, Terry and I were married, and he wanted to play this song for me that he had recorded, just had done a demo with. He was a friend of mine. He was another regular performer on Music Hop. His name was Mike Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course, sung from written from a guy's point of view. And it was, you know, Which Way You Goin', Buddy, Can I Go?
Buddy.
Same story, but
right.
just from a guy's point of view. And
right.
I'm listening to this thing, and I'm thinking, you know, I really think this sucks coming from a guy. I didn't tell it to Terry, of course.
Right.
You know, I wasn't going to say that to him. But,
right.
But inside, I'm thinking, you know, I really like the melody. I thought that was killer.
But
and,
that's not going to work. But
yeah,
that is
really.
Not work.
it just. So I said, you know, I think this would go over better if it was written from a girl's point of view. I never thought of me singing it at the time.
Right.
You know, I really didn't. It was just because I was still very young and still, you know.
Right. Oh, so you
listened to the radio all the time and loved all those whatever. So I was kind of going from an audience perspective, like who would listen to this?
Right.
Anyway,
was Terry originally slated to sing it? Which way you going, Buddy? And then you changed it, and then you took it?
No. Terry didn't do much singing at the beginning. He really, really didn't. He was not. He himself said, "I'm not a singer." You know, and he, you know, at that point in time, I think he was just wanting to write the song, and no, he wouldn't have sung it, I don't think. That was not what the feeling I got from it. But when he changed it, and then we started to go through, and we thought, okay, well, which way are you going, Buddy? A girl can't sing that.
And
I have... 6 brothers, and so we thought, well, shoot, well, let's just go through those, you know, and which way going, Bruce?
To go through. Yeah.
Which way going, Bruce? Didn't work, and anyway, we went down the line and of my brothers' names, and which way going, Billy?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Right,
because
right,
it still
right.
had that same flow that Which Way You Goin' Buddy had, you know, Which Way You Goin' Billy, and so that was then I sang it. So
right, well, not only did Billy save you once in regard to changing your life, he also changed your life now as well. Do you want to share that with people?
Yes. When I was living in Nashville, I lived there for quite a while, and it was discovered I was in kidney failure, and I moved back up here. They weren't sure why, because I didn't have so many of the things that, you know, like high blood pressure or diabetes. I had none of that. So they weren't entirely sure at that time what it was, but I was in kidney failure. And now, of course, my whole family stood up and said, we'll get checked. Bless every one of them. But Billy was the one. I had two brothers that were a match, and they chose Billy because he was the younger one, and he pushed like crazy. He bugged them because he knew that it was better if I had. So he gave me a kidney.
Nice.
And that
beautiful.
In 2010.
Wow.
Unfortunately, I lost that kidney, and it was it was complicated. They found out that I have an extremely rare kidney disease that only 200 known cases in the world. 200.
Oh,
I mean,
you're the lucky
you know,
one.
Oh my God.
Am
I special or what?
Right. If you can pick a number, that's not the number you want to pick.
Yeah. Everybody said you better go out and get a lottery ticket.
So are you on the donor list now? Waiting list, I should say.
I am expecting. Well, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I guess it is now. I ended up in the hospital. I mean, everything seemed to go wrong. There were all kinds of things. I got pneumonia. Mm. I developed sepsis, and my body shut down. So they had to jumpstart me and put me on life support. And in an induced coma for almost a week, I guess.
Wow.
And I wasn't supposed to live through it. So as far as I'm concerned, everything is a blessing now.
Yes.
Every
absolutely.
Day is a blessing.
Well,
so now,
thank you to Billy for a lot of things, right? Thank you to Billy
for
a lot
of
things. Yes. Yes.
And Billy said, I would give you my other kidney, but he said, you can't have my other kidney.
Yeah. Yes,
so
John.
I said, well, totally understood.
We got a friend of Susan's on the line, Dan Carlson.
Oh, nice.
Hey, Dan.
Oh, Mr. Carlson, welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Susan.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and Carlene's
doing
a lot better.
Good.
Yeah, you've had quite a go of it over the last little while as well.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
We're fighters.
Yes, we are, Susan.
Thoughts and prayers for Carlene, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Speedy recovery for Carlene.
Do what now? I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said speedy recovery for Carlene.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she's had a go of it, too.
Yeah, I know.
We've both been down quite a bit, but we're fighters and we're back.
Yes.
I just want to say, you know, Susan and I are friends. We did meet on the internet. I knew who she was before. Our friendship is not based on her being a singer or celebrity. That's how I knew who she was.
Nice.
But we have a little bit deeper friendship than that.
Nice.
I think Susan would agree.
I'm happy
we developed a really special relationship just by support. You know, and by kind of being with each other during the rougher times. And
well, you know what?
He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I love him. I love Dan. I got to tell you though, during tough times, if you don't have people to support you, that's a major factor. That really is a major healing process. You need to have that
absolutely
backbone of people behind you. You know, and if you do, it makes it a whole hell of a lot better to get better faster, you know.
It sure does. It sure does.
Yeah, so. But, Susan, you're also involved heavily in the Kidney Foundation of Canada, right?
Well, I have been previously, not so much in the last little bit, but, of course, I support them, and I do a
Absolutely.
Lot of organ donation promotion and things like that. Because
right,
it's so
right.
important, you know, there are people that are.
Yeah.
It's a rough thing.
It's hard because, unfortunately, when you need something donated, unfortunately, someone has to lose their life. In your case, a kidney is different, but when you know, because people can live with one, but people who need hearts and stuff like that, I mean,
I know.
It's a shame, you know, someone unfortunately
has
to lose their
hard.
Life. In order for you to live, however, but it's meant to be. Always understand that, Dan. It's meant to be if you are given that gift. So, you know what I mean? So it's deserving of the person who receives it. And that is for sure.
I want to say this. You know, Susan and I, like she said, we've developed a pretty close friendship.
And that's beautiful.
And over the past few months, I don't know how I would have got by without her. She's been my support. She's been my cheerleader, kind of like my angel.
That's great. That's great. Thank
you,
Susan, because, you know, Dan and I, we met on Facebook, and actually he introduced me to you, and he's a wonderful guy. I love him. I barely know him, but I feel like I've known him all my life, and he's just been a
fantastic
guy.
He's a very special guy.
Yes, he is, and I think of
him.
Often, very often, and pray for both him and Carlene every day. Because you know what? Better days are coming, Dan. Better days are coming.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right,
absolutely.
So, yes.
You know,
absolutely.
I got you gals in my corner, and
you
that
sure
means a
do.
Lot to me. Susan and I talk on the phone and talk on Messenger a lot, so we keep in touch with each other.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Good. That's good to know. Well, Dan, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. I wish you nothing but the best, honey. You know that. And you know, I'm on top of what's going on too. So I do wish you both well, your whole family, and you hang in there, okay, hon?
Okay.
Absolutely, yes.
All right.
Joanne, we got another caller on the line. There's Patty.
Thank you, Dan.
Patty's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
for Susan. Patty, are you there?
Hi, Patty. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susan. It's nice to meet you. Well, I'm someone special to Joanne. I'm her big sister.
Oh, God, it's my sister. It's my sister, Patty. Oh, shoot.
You're in trouble, Joanne.
What did I do?
Well, it's nice to meet you, too.
Well, Susan, well, before I want to talk about what I wanted to talk to you about, I'm sorry to hear about your kidney issues, but as weird as this may sound, I made a donation to the kidney organization today. A friend of mine on Facebook, for, you know how they have the birthday things on Facebook to make a donation?
Yes.
She put it on for the Kidney Foundation, for the kidney cancer research, and that was her request. And how odd is that, that you are speaking out about the kidney? Well, I just made a donation. So
that's wonderful. Right. That's wonderful.
So, yeah. But back to you. Your song, Which Way You Going, Billy, came out when I'm Joanne's much older sister, and when that came out,
much older.
But our brother Billy had just moved out of the house, and it broke my heart that he left us, and song just. Every time I heard it, I would sing, and I was the singer in the house back in those days. And I would sing it with such intensity, like you would not believe, like I was you. And
is so neat. That is great.
Yeah,
when music touches somebody like that, that is thrilling for me. You know, to be able to do something, and you don't realize that when you're younger and you're recording. I mean, I loved that song.
Those chords resonated through every vein in my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Because,
yep.
you know,
and
like I say, you realize sometimes later for an artist, it hits you sometimes later. When I found out how much that touched people, for me, I just loved to sing. That's all I wanted to do was sing and to go in there and put my heart and soul into it. But when I found out years later just how many people that touched, that is just wonderful.
And when I saw that on her, you know, on the Facebook that you were going to be on there, as soon as I saw the name, I didn't even have to know what band, I didn't know, you know, whatever. It came back to me like it was 45 years ago. Like, it came right back. I'm like, oh, my God, I just aged myself. But it just came right back. I could sing every single word. It was like, boom. It might not have been the same circumstance, but my brother left. And it just killed me that he left our house. And I didn't know if he would come back. I didn't know if he would ever come back. And it was horrible. It was horrible for him to leave us at the worst time possible. But, I loved your song. If it came on, I could still sing it every single word to this day. And I loved
that's
it.
Wonderful.
And I loved your voice. And I just thought you were so pretty on the record. If it was on the jukebox, my dime went in, or quarter, played it three times.
Well, thank you.
Fabulous.
And if I can say something to my sister, you better drink some tea with some lemon and no sugar in that tea. That sugar is not going to take care of your throat. I can hear how bad your throat is.
I'm getting better. But anyway, thank you.
That's going around right now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know so many people that are. It seems to be a global thing, or at least a North American thing, because I know so many people right now that have this thing and it hangs on and hangs on.
Yeah, it's been 2 months now, and issues that I have to take care of. So.
And
but,
Joe, if you talk to your friend, I'm sorry. If you talk to your friend Rodney Allen Rippey, I am so sorry. I missed the first half of the show tonight. I wanted to introduce myself to him so bad. You have no idea, because I lived on the West Coast, and I had Jack in the Boxes, and I remember his commercials so well. and I would have loved to. I would have loved to say hello to him. But okay, it was nice to meet you, Susan.
Thank you for calling.
Nice to meet you too.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. Well, as a songwriter, Susan, I wanted to ask you, Billy really, we know how we got Billy in your song, but Billy really seems to be a popular name in songs. I mean, I looked it up, there's over 50 songs with the name Billy.
Yeah.
What do you think, why people pick Billy?
I don't know. Mm. I really don't know. Of course, I love the name. I love my brother.
I have a brother too, Billy. Yeah.
Well, when you say, you know, you go through, it just seems to be one of those names that kind of fits into all kinds of songs and situations and whatever. And
right.
It's, you know, I mean, how often, like I said, which way you going, Bruce? I mean,
yeah.
You think of the
what,
people's
the
names, you know,
right.
Richard. I mean, it just has a warm kind of nice sound, you know, to it.
Yeah.
Billy, it's sweet. And it.
I mean, we had Ode to Billy Joe, Billy the Kid, Marry Me Bill, which was one of my favorites by Marilyn McCoo and those guys. I love that one. Yeah.
Billy,
but,
don't
I mean,
be a hero.
Billy, don't be a hero. Another one of my favorites. And it just always like, why Billy? You know, it could have been Timmy or Bobby. But I do think that songs that are generated to a specific name tend to be more popular because people can relate to them more. You know, like
yes.
In my sister's case, it reminded her of our brother, you know.
Yes.
And it reminded me of my brother, too, every time I hear it. So, but Susan, where can people check you out, see what's going on with your life right now? What are we doing these days?
Well, I've been put on a travel ban because they're hoping to do a transplant before the end of the year. That's not to say will absolutely, but they're hoping they can.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, so it would be, you know, they're going to do it within the next little while. So, because I'm actually right now, I'm near the top of the list.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I'm on dialysis now, but I handled it really, really well. And
good.
Because of everything went through when I was sick, yeah, I was so, so desperately ill 3 years ago. And my attitude about life and about just living and being here has changed a lot. And so I take everything as it comes. And in the meantime, I'm recording an album right now.
Good, good.
So,
and when are we releasing it?
Well, it's a little slower right now because I'm going through tests and the recording process is a little bit slower right now. But we've got five tunes that are, you know, we've got a basic kind of track down and we did vocals and stuff like that. And I'm so excited. I'm hoping to have it out by next fall.
Is it country or pop? What are we talking?
You know, all my life I've always been so hesitant to put myself into a particular thing, unless it's a definite country song. Then it's a definite country song, but I don't pick a genre to be in necessarily because I've got so much pop. In my, you know, growing up with pop, of course, back then pop was everything. but it's kind of, I don't know what to even call it. Some of them are, a lot of them are my own songs that I was a staff songwriter in Nashville for a few years. And so a lot of them are mine. And although they told me in Nashville that I was, back when I first moved there, they said that I was too pop for country and too country for pop. Nowadays, you know, it's all over the place, so it's kind of opened up that way. So
Well,
so it's
I want to ask
me.
you, Yeah, on which one is it? There was a movie you did, not you, but there was a song that you wrote. Where are we? In the movie The Last Chance Cafe, it's called Looking for Love. Is that the one with Ronnie Milsap? Did you co-write that?
I did.
Did you really?
I did.
Oh, yes. Because nice. When I saw it said Looking for Love for the movie The Last Chance Cafe, I said, oh, is that the same Looking for Love with Ronnie Milsap? That's fantastic.
Well, I actually sang it in the movie. I did a little sort of a ghost appearance where I was singing it, you know, with a little band there at a picnic. Or something. I don't know what it was. I think it was a picnic, and in the actual movie, but just made a little appearance there. But no, I co-wrote it, and yeah, that was fun.
Nice. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us, and apologies for my voice. Hopefully, we'll be up and running again in a couple of weeks, I hope.
No problem.
Yes,
at all. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We finally made it happen. We had to keep pushing you off because of whatever going on.
And I know. I know. And then we found out we were having Thanksgiving on Canada on the run. I had to put it off. But we finally got together. That's the main thing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you, Susan
Jack from the Poppies.
Thank you
so much for joining us. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you again
thank
for inviting
me. Thank
you
for Applause Radio. We appreciate it. Both you and Ronnie Allen Rippey, thank you both for joining the show today. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
And all the best to you, Susan. Good luck. Keep us posted on the kidney, and all good health to you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, you take care, honey. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and good luck.
Thanks.
Bye, Susan.
Okay, take care. Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.
All right, Johnny boy.
Another great all show, right. Joanne.
Yes, sir. We're getting there. So I said today, I said, you know what? Does God suck or what? If we finally get a successful show and he takes my voice, what the hell? You know? It's like, what the hell? You know?
Who's coming up on Wednesday?
Coming up on Wednesday on the 13th, we had to do a little rescheduling. Unfortunately, we were having, Alexander Morris from the Four Tops was going to join us. But and we had a gentleman by the name of Frank Encia, and we have to move him as well. But we are going to have Dawn Moore, who is Clayton Moore's daughter, the Lone Ranger, and we are having Dean Martin's daughter on. I just thought it was apropos to have the two daughters on together instead of mixing them with a singer, you know? So, but
Alexander,
we can
ask how she feels. We can ask how she feels about the controversy.
That's
about,
my question.
That's a Christmas song.
That's why I want her on, so we can ask her what
Baby,
she thinks
it's
about
cold
that
outside.
Crap. Yeah, the bullshit going on around that beautiful song ruining it over stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But no, we have an amazing week coming, month coming up. The 13th, like I said, is Dawn Moore and Dina Martin. And then on the 17th, we have Diane Renee and Mel Carter. And on the 20th, can't wait for Mr. Ron Dante of the Archies. And then on the 24th.
Wow, sugar.
Yeah, on the 24th, we have some guys from Boston coming on. And they're going to discuss
their Christmas
album. They're going to discuss their Christmas album, absolutely. So, again, we welcome our new sponsors to our family, Catskill Provisions, where they have honey syrup whiskey, and they're basically an artisanal food and gifts company, and the stuff is good. It's really good.
And
of course,
you find them on our website, right, Joanne?
Absolutely, yeah. And also, we have KWB Wines, who have been with us from the beginning. And we have some more folks coming on board very soon. Can't wait to welcome them to the family as well. And, John, I'm good. How about you?
Good. Let's say goodnight to everybody, and we'll see everyone on Wednesday.
You got it. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Rodney. Thank you to Susan. Thanks to our callers. Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody, our sponsors. And if you want to know more about our sponsors, you can always see them on our website or go to their own. But thank you all for joining us. Have a great night. Happy Veterans Day. And happy holidays, because we got the holidays right around the corner as well.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.